You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wears a bathing suit in the shower, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. It is Tuesday night. Great show in the works here. And it is good to be here tonight talking to all of you about the things in life we love. Hope everybody is having a great day wherever you're joining us from in our chilly, frigid state. Let's bring some warmth tonight and talk about movies and TV and quarterbacks. We've got a big show tonight. Lots of fun stuff. A couple great in-studio guests, two of our best chums on the show tonight, and a new friend who wrote a book about quarterbacks. Conrad, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's cold, but it's not negative cold anymore.
You are a very weather-related person, and I find that hilarious because you've lived in Wisconsin your whole life, and most of the people, you and I are a little bit different because most of the people that live here really embrace, not, I shouldn't say most, I would say more than 50% though, so most, embrace the cold. They're like, I love winter. It's like a macho thing or something.
I don't embrace negative weather.
You don't really embrace winter though either. I would say you're not a winter guy.
You know, but if it's like 30, I'm fine with that.
Oh, 30's nothing.
Yeah, but
if there's not wind,
I'm just wishing for, it's crazy. I'm hoping for 30 degree weather.
Yeah. I just think it's funny because, like, oftentimes when I say, how you doing, you reference the weather. Like, it affects your mood.
It does.
And if you're going to live here, you just got to, like, I think you got to put it out of your head. You just got to be like, yeah, whatever, man. I had a great day.
You know what? Just my favorite time of the year is when I can open my windows, finally. So I'm just looking forward to that.
And yet you wear shorts in the winter.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Not all the time.
I'd say I'm not, when I was in high school, I did that, though, like, a lot. Not anymore, really. I'll wear shorts inside, obviously, but like when I'd go to school, I'd wear shorts. People be like, what are you doing?
When I would work at my daughter's school when she was in middle school, I worked with kids there. And I think that's a macho thing. Like for kids just to go, well, first of all, kids are just going to be kids. But when they show up in shorts, that's one thing. But when they show up in shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops, when it's the middle of January, that is, they're trying to make a statement.
They're making a statement that they need to turn down the heat in the school.
Yeah, exactly. we can freeze them out. I had a weird drive here tonight. I had a little game of chicken going with another driver, and I do not ever instigate any of this stuff. But I drive an hour to get here, and I drive an hour at home at night. And when I, on the way down today, someone passed me. I was in the right lane. Someone passed me and then slowed down right away. And I don't understand, like, what that's about. Like, why would you? Obviously, they're trying to rattle you, maybe. But here's what drove me crazy. I eventually passed them again. I was like, all right, this guy's going to go 60. I'm going to pass him. So I passed him. And then he tried to pass me again. So obviously, I'm in this really weird game with this dude. But here's what's funny. Here's what a numbskull this guy is. He's got his business on the side of his pickup truck. And I'm like, you know how easy it would be for me to report you or just say this guy's being a horse's ass and endangering other people? Because he was. It wasn't just he and I. It was like there were other people that he would weave in and out of. And I'm just like, this guy either just lost it. Maybe he lost a huge contract and he's taking it out on me and my Honda. But it's just the weirdest thing. Like, you're a jerk either way. But you've got your business. Like, the phone number's right there. I could call him with the number on his door and say, this is the guy next to you. Quit being a D-bag. Learn how to drive.
You know, it'd be awesome if you did call that number and then he picked up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that would be...
Yeah, this guy's driving like a jerk. And he's just like, I think that's me.
I would say to him, I go, hey, I need some work done on my, and then I would say the name on his truck, and you go, oh, I can do that for you. And I go, I would, but you're driving like such an idiot. I'm not going to hire you. Then I'd pass him again. That'd show him. Big news in Wisconsin, too, today. Madison is getting an IKEA. You hear about this?
Ooh.
That is big stuff. However, those of you who are IKEA enthusiasts, they are not getting the Swedish meatballs, which IKEA is known for.
Yeah.
I think people go there just to eat, even if they don't need furniture.
Do they?
They just go there for the meatballs. Yeah, I know. People love those Swedish meatballs.
Where is an IKEA that's like in Wisconsin?
Is there one in Milwaukee?
I think there might be.
I think there might be too. I feel like I've seen that. Maybe it used to be like an old American store or something. American, like when they used to, I think American sold electronics.
It's the only one in the state, and it's in Oak Creek.
Do they have the Swedish meatballs? If anyone has been to the IKEA in Oak Creek, please let us know.
Yeah, let us know, because then we can make a road trip out of it, you know.
Correct.
Get some sweet savings on a couch and some Swedish meatballs.
An awkwardly designed couch that only IKEA tools can put together.
Yes.
We'll get some Swedish meatballs and we'll road trip it. We're a little closer to Milwaukee than we are to Madison right now, but either way. But congrats, Madison. IKEA's a good store. I've gotten a lot of stuff there.
I don't think I've ever been to an IKEA, so.
Dude, you got to go and just like.
Just eat the meatballs.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. I can't remember how they did this. I haven't been to one in quite a while, but usually they would make you walk through the whole store where they have everything set up and people are sitting down, trying the beds, the chairs, whatever. And you loop, it's like a little, it's like those bank lines where they're roped off and you have to walk, but it's furniture and home furnishings. And I think, I want to say the restaurant was at the end of all that. So you gotta, you're going to get like 2,000 steps in before you eat your Swedish meatballs.
Well, see, this is what you can do. You can take that walk, find a, just scope out for a bed, go get your meatballs.
Yeah.
Then take a nap on that bed.
But then you got to go all the way back to the start.
Yeah, but that's where you're napping, though. So it's like you get there and then you can...
After you eat your meatballs. Yeah, all right, that works. But either way, it's great to have IKEA in Madison. Congrats, Madisonians. You just got to bring your own snacks, apparently. You can't get the meatballs. Hey, the phone lines are always open here at Nightlight, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Be part of the show. We're going to tell you the question of the night in just a moment. And would love it if you guys participated and... you know, just share your thoughts throughout the show, regardless of what we're talking about. American Idol, there was a Wisconsin native made her debut on American Idol last night. Now, I don't watch American Idol, but I did watch a clip, and her name is Genevieve Hayward. She's from Lake Geneva, and she's really good. It was just like a minute-long clip, but she has a lot of talent. So I wish her luck. That's kind of cool. What do you want? You watch reality TV, don't you?
Reality meaning football.
Well, I guess that's not really a reality show. That's more of a contest show.
I don't watch reality TV okay. at all. I you know, the last one I watched was MILF Manor.
That's a competition
show. It's too good.
That's a disturbing competition show between father and son to see who can bed a woman. It is so awful. It is terrible.
It's the best show I have ever watched.
Is it coming back? That's what I want to know.
I'm hoping they have a season 3.
Yeah, we'll talk. I did notice this. This drives me crazy. I have said this before. I love the internet before ads took it over. Like, you could lose yourself in a YouTube rabbit hole and not play any ads. Get like 6 hours of straight music starting at 9 o'clock, and you say, well, I'll just listen to music for a half hour. 6 hours later, you've watched concerts and everything. But there were no ads. And now, and it's the same with streaming. Like when streaming TV shows started, you just watched them. There were no ads whatsoever. Now, I almost am ready. When you reintroduce ads, it makes it so much harder to sit through them because we know that life without those ads. But now, when an ad comes up and it does that countdown, so I know I have to listen to 5 more seconds of this ad, I could pull a muscle trying to click off of that ad. Because I'm just so annoyed. Now, part of that's me. I admit that. But I cannot stand these ads. It's terrible. And when you're looking for content for your show, when you go to all these entertainment websites like IMDb and Variety and, you know, New York Post or whatever, all the local news, Wisconsin, the ads drive you crazy. I just can't do it anymore. And I don't know. There's no way around it. You know what would be great is if I could afford to hire someone just to sit through all the ads.
So you'd be like, all right, I'm done with this article. Well, find my next one.
Yeah, never going to have that kind of money. That's the problem.
You know, have you considered getting an ad blocker?
I've tried those. I don't think they work.
Okay. They work for me. I use one of my MacBook for YouTube.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works. Sometimes it says you need to unblock this ad so we can play it. So it's like a mixture of times it works and sometimes it doesn't.
All right. I think without further ado, folks, we need to get to the nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Paul Newman's birthday was yesterday. Our question of the night, what is your favorite Paul Newman movie? You could argue that Paul Newman is the greatest male actor, most iconic, most handsome. I don't know. You can make an argument for all of those things with Paul Newman. I love the guy. I love his work. Love his movies. Love him in a movie. He's one of those guys that can take a mediocre movie and make it more interesting just by his presence. So our question of the night is, what is your favorite Paul Newman movie? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. Civic Media app is very easy to use. Or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X, drop us a stream comment and I will read it on the radio. Be part of the show, folks. Always more fun when you guys participate. I had a great story about Paul Newman. Our grade school in California, one of the other parents was an actor. And his career kind of sputtered, but he was mentored by Paul Newman. And I think he played the Paul Newman character or something. There's something to the story. I don't remember all of it, but on Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And he got to move in with Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward for like a month while they were working on this show together. And he tells the story that Paul Newman taught him how to make dirty eggs. And I think that's about the coolest thing I can think of. Paul Newman teaching you how to make anything but dirty eggs. I didn't even know what dirty eggs were before that story, but you just cook them in bacon grease. Did you know that, Con?
No.
That's dirty eggs.
I made some eggs this morning.
Yeah. Were they dirty just because you were too lazy to clean the pan after you made the bacon? Or did you intentionally?
I don't typically have bacon anymore, but...
No?
That actually sounds dynamite.
I don't even know if I trust people that don't eat bacon.
Well, I just don't eat it as much anymore.
Yeah. I don't want to eat it.
It tastes so good, though.
But my God, you wake up in the morning and you smell bacon and coffee... Game over.
I guess so. If I am like
at a shot after that
at a hotel or something, and then I go down for breakfast, I'm wolfing down so like eight pieces.
So you'll eat hotel bacon?
Yeah, it's because it's already made there. You know, so you don't have to do much.
That's interesting. All right, but let us know what your favorite Paul Newman movie is. Mine is Slapshot and The Sting. You got one, Con?
Cars.
Oh, nice pull.
He played Doc Hudson.
Doc Hudson. He was great in that. Hey, we have a great show tonight, folks. Let us know what your favorite Paul Newman movie is. We are talking to Seth Wickersham after the news, which happens in just about 10 minutes. Seth is the ESPN senior writer and the author of a new best-selling book called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. Seth will be here in a few minutes. Frank Hermans is here tonight. Heather Heil, two of our nightlight besties, dropping by the studio. It's a really fun night. When we come back, I'm going to read some of your texts and tell you about a movie I saw. How do you like that, Con? All right, we're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. Hope everybody's having a great Tuesday. We are live on the air from beautiful downtown Green Bay, broadcasting statewide. And I love this, Conrad, when we get a text from someone And then they text something I don't think they meant for us.
Yes, I did see that.
Teresa in the 608 says, yes, Oak Creek has the cafeteria. So the Milwaukee.
We're going.
The Milwaukee IKEA has the Swedish meatballs. She texted just a couple minutes later, ETA 5:30. So I don't know if Teresa wants us to meet her at the IKEA or if that was an accident.
Well, it wouldn't, you know, it's going to take us a little bit longer to get there.
It's going to take us a little, yeah. We got a show to do, Teresa. But thank you anyway. We would love to meet you at 5:30 if we could. Sometimes you do get texts that people just accidentally text us, you know, like. There's always someone asking Conrad what he's wearing. That's weird.
And it's always just a two-piece top, you know.
Right. So, all right, great fun, folks. New sports and weather coming up in just about 6 minutes. After that, Seth Wickersham will be here, ESPN senior writer and the author of the book American Kings, A Biography of the Quarterback. Seth does outstanding work at ESPN. He did a lot of investigative work on the Colin Kaepernick situation, Deflategate, and he wrote a book about that as well. He's an incredibly accomplished sports journalist, and he will be here to talk about his new book and lots of other fun stuff, too. That's at 5:35. Frank Hermans joins us at 6:35. It'll be great to have Frank in the studio. Always fun. And he's bringing a banjo, Con.
I mean, so, that's pretty cool.
Fantastic. Break out the jug. We're going to have a little hootenanny in here. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then our pal Heather Heil helps us close things down. She'll be along at 7:20 in the studio. Always fun to have Heather here. She's going to tell us what's going on at the Green Bay Children's Museum, and there is a lot going on. I just looked at their website earlier today. Great stuff. So really fun show. Our question of the night in honor of Paul Newman's birthday. What is your favorite Paul Newman movie? That is tonight's question. So Tony the Trucker sent us a text last night, and last night's question was, who would you want to be your mentor? And yeah, he picked Bob Uecker. But then right at the end of the show, or at the end of the show, we just missed it. He sent us, he said, Pete, if Bob was too busy, I'd pick Morgan Freeman.
I think, you know, Morgan is pretty busy too.
Yeah, really. He's like every movie ever.
He's always giving his voice out to movies, not just his acting talents, but.
Correct. But be that as it may, he's still going to be easier to reach now than Bob Uecker.
Yeah, that's true.
Very unfortunately. But anyway, keep those texts coming, folks. Let us know what your favorite Paul Newman movie is. I was in a hurry today coming into the studio, and I do this so infrequently. When's the last time you had McDonald's?
Probably about like 3 months ago, somewhere around there.
All right. It's been really probably well over a year for me, maybe. And I was starving, and it was like I had three fast food places on the way here. And I just picked the one with the shortest line.
Yeah.
And it was McDonald's because I was in a hurry. Not a huge hurry, but I just didn't want to sit in a line. And I ate two McDonald's hamburgers and I thought I wanted to die afterwards. I don't know what it is. Like, I grew up eating those burgers and I used to love them.
Well, I mean, if you actually have had good burgers, those are at the bottom of the list.
Correct.
You know, just there. I mean, honestly, they're not even that cheap anymore compared to what
they're
were.
Not at all.
Yeah, but they're not.
It's ridiculous.
Not even, if you ever it was still on a dollar menu, I would say maybe it's worth it, but it's not anymore.
Well, that's a great point. Have you ever had a White Castle burger?
No, I've never tried White Castle.
The best thing about White Castle is when you drive up to the drive-thru and you say, you call them White Castles. You don't say burgers. You say, I'll have three White Castles. They'll go, three White Castles. They're calling it the name of the store. And I just find that hilarious.
Yeah, I haven't heard great reviews of White Castle, but
it's great when you've been drunk, when you've been drinking. It's so amazing because you can just inhale them. They're small and they have mustard and onions. I don't think they ever came with ketchup on them, but they're delicious, Conrad. It's a delicacy. I would try.
I don't even know where White Castle is in Wisconsin.
Listen, you got Google Maps?
If it's not in Green Bay, I'm not going.
That's the spirit. Dave on the stream says Slapshot. I'm with you, Dave. You and me, buddy. Yeah, Slapshot. Paul Newman. It's a really funny movie. And even if you're not a hockey fan, like, I think hockey's fine. But when I was a kid, I knew nothing about hockey, but I loved that movie. And I couldn't believe the guy that was in The Sting was in this movie too. That was kind of had some dirty moments and some rated R humor. I don't want to say it seemed beneath Paul Newman, but he owned it. He was great in it. playing an aging hockey player. So I'm with Dave there. Slapshot is one of my favorites, as well as The Sting. The Sting is one of my all-time favorite movies. Conrad's mom chiming in, agreeing. Conrad, your parents, either one or the other, typically agree with me. Sometimes both on the same night. Sometimes they divide it up. But Paula says The Sting. So great choice.
I just looked it up. The closest White Castle's in Kenosha. So,
well, here's what we can do. We can stop at IKEA for some Swedish meatballs as an appetizer, and then we can go to White Castle's.
We'll need one of those beds for a nap after then.
But when you go to IKEA in the cafeteria and you want Swedish meatballs, they're not going to go, you know, two orders of IKEA like they do at White Castle. It's like six White Castle's.
Two IKEAs, please.
It's just so, I don't know why I think that's so funny. They just call their burgers the name of the store. That's like three Burger Kings.
Three Taco Bells, please.
Yeah, exactly. And it's because they only have, I think, burgers. Maybe you can get doubles. But then they would just call them double White Castles. So who knows? Teresa confirms it. Did I read this already? She says, yes. So, yeah, I did read that. Teresa. And then, of course, I hope Teresa made her appointment. She's got less than a minute to get there. ETA 5:30. That I don't think was meant for us. Brett in the 920 says, oh, I loved The Sting. One of my favorite movies ever. The Sting is by far and away our leader already. It is early, folks, but let us know your favorite Paul Newman movie. Chris from Sun Prairie says, Cool Hand Luke. Love that movie. That's going to get a lot of votes tonight, too, I know. We got social media responses we'll get to. Lots going on here. After news, sports, and weather, folks, Seth Wickersham, senior ESPN writer and author of the book American Kings, a documentary of the quarterback, is going to be here. He's great, and don't miss it. Frank Hermans, Heather Heil, so much going on. Glad you're here. It's Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Lose yourself in the sky among the clouds in the heaven calls.
Let this room.
What is your favorite Paul Newman movie? That is tonight's question of the night, folks. Let us know and be part of the show, and we will have fun and reading your text on the radio. It'll be great. So my next guest is an incredibly accomplished writer and does great work at ESPN as a senior writer. He is a New York Times bestselling author with his most recent book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, reaching the top of the charts ridiculously fast. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time, Mr. Seth Wickersham. Hey, Seth.
How's it going, man?
Doing very well, thank you. It's good to talk to you. How where are you joining us from tonight?
I'm in snowy Connecticut.
Listen, it can't be colder than here. This has been ridiculous in the Midwest, so I don't know.
No, it's just snowy. It's not too cold, but it's very snowy.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you. Before we start, I have to ask you: do you have a favorite Paul Newman movie?
Oh my gosh. Do I have time to Google Paul Newman movies?
Take as much time as you want. We can come back to that.
I might have to come back to that one.
All right. And I'll give you, you know, since you're a sports guy, a Slapshot is always an option too. And
well, I was going to say that, but I figured that that was like the cliche that I would be like walking into here. So,
well, there's no right or wrong answer. Take your time and ruminate all you like. Listen, this is American Kings, just is a bestseller. It's your second huge book that's a bestseller, that if my research shows, but you've also done a lot of great investigative reports and all that kind of stuff. But for those of us who haven't read American Kings yet, but love football, love the NFL, what can you tell us about it?
Well, yeah, thank you. I think that like that job, it's such a unique job. It's such a uniquely American job. And it comes with all of these very interesting kind of responsibilities and hopes and dreams that are very specific to it. And so, you know, we expect something different from quarterbacks than we do from, you know, point guards or center fielders. And so I wanted to try to understand why. And I wanted to try to understand, you know, what kind of people are drawn to doing it? What type of person do they have to become to kind of survive the winnowing that you go from being one of 16,000 starting quarterbacks in high school every year in America to 858 in college to 32 in the NFL to being one of the, you know, five great ones? And what does it mean to live with that for the rest of your life? And I wanted to look at guys who, you know, our current quarterbacks like Caleb Williams and Arch Manning and Drake May. And I wanted to look at, you know, quarterbacks throughout history, from John Elway to Steve Young to Joe Montana to Warren Moon, and even people who are no longer with us, like Johnny Unitas, Bob Waterfield, people like that. So that was my goal with it.
So you're obviously a sports fan. I know you played sports growing up. You probably have a wealth of knowledge. You could probably write a book off the top of your head, but having said that, you're known for this comprehensive deep dives you do, which are so great. Given how much you know, how much research still had to go into making this book what it is?
Well, you're humbled by what you don't know. And I think that, like, you know, when you become, you know, professional at something, you know, and I'm sure that you can relate to this, you know, you become good enough at it to know how bad you are. And so I think that, like, knowledge is kind of one of those things that, like, you know, it's a tool, and it helps you, it helps inform the questions that you don't have the answers to yet. And so, you know, when I was doing this book, even though I had spent, you know, most of my career at ESPN writing about quarterbacks, I still felt like that there was not only a bigger story that hadn't been told really ever about the quarterbacks in the position, but also questions that I, you know, just hadn't answered. And, you know, and so that's what led me on it. And, you know, I traveled a ton for the book. When I was doing the research for it, it was not just, you know, reading through history books and autobiographies and biographies. I did a ton of traveling, and, you know, thank God, because, you know, I think the book would have been much worse without that. I think that, like, you know, you're, like I said, you're always humbled by what you don't know.
You mean like traveling in terms of obviously maybe setting up interviews? Yeah. You had some great interviews, but like going to hometowns, that kind of thing, seeing
all of it. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you know, I saw Joe Namath in two different states. You know, Bob Waterfield was a watershed quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams in the 40s. He was married to Jane Russell. They were really one of the country's first true power couples, and kind of set up the idea that the quarterback can get the prettiest girl, the hottest girl, right? You know,
right.
And he's no longer living, but, you know, I went to Van Nuys High School where he went, and I visited, you know, his youngest son in Montana where he lives now. I mean, all that stuff, you know, was incredibly important. And, you know, Colin Hurley, who's a young quarterback that I followed around to try to give readers a glimpse at what it's like to be a high school quarterback now. I mean, I visited him, I think, in 6-7 states, if I remember right. So it was quite a bit, and, you know, but it was all worth it.
So what did you find out about the psyche of the quarterback, or what was there a common thread other than like leadership skills, crazy athleticism? Was there a common thread?
Well, that's the interesting thing, right? Because like I sat with Steve Young and I asked him, you know, look, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah. I asked him, you know, what are all the hats that a starting quarterback for a pro team has to wear? And he starts rattling them off, and it's everything from, you know, spokesperson for a multi-billion-dollar organization, field general, matinee idol, community leader, you know, breathtaking jerk, you know, all of these things. And then, oh, by the way, you also have to be able to throw the ball through windows that people can't see, much less exploit. And I think that, like, one of the most interesting things that I found is that, you know, quarterback has gotten so big in America, and there's so much pressure and scrutiny and hype around them at a young age that at this point, I think that people who become quarterbacks are not only gifted throwers and intense competitors, but I think that they have like a hole in their personality that's very similar to like a politician or maybe a pop star that needs constant love and adoration and acceptance, and really kind of has to live in a bubble, I think. And I think that to me is one of the most kind of fascinating things. And again, you know, you don't see that with pitchers or, right, you know, centers in basketball. You know, there's complications with those things also, but there's, you know, we've placed quarterback on a certain pedestal as a culture. And I think that that's what makes it just so unique. And that's what makes the people who do it different than other athletes.
You know, it's interesting because I think Brady is considered the GOAT. I would say, I would argue Joe Montana too, because he was like Jordan. He was undefeated when he got to the big game. You could certainly make an argument for him. But you mentioned Steve Young. This guy, if he didn't go to the USFL or ride the pine behind Montana, his skill set, he was a joy to watch, whether it was his arm or his legs. I think at one point he was the fastest runner on the 49ers. Where would he have been, in your opinion, if he hadn't, if he had come out, you know, and gone right to the NFL and started?
I don't know. Yeah, I think that, like, he was one of those guys, and I think Joe Montana was like this also, that, that benefited from the place that he ended up being at, even though it was difficult. I think that, you know, we talk about system quarterbacks, and it's kind of said is a little bit of shade, is a little bit of a backhanded compliment, right? It basically credits the coaches' X's and O's and schemes and says that, you know, the quarterback is productive because of that. But really, every quarterback in NFL history is a system quarterback, and you need to have a good system. Look at John Elway's statistics under Dan Reeves and look at them under Mike Shanahan. You know, it's the system. It's not to say that John Elway wasn't a good quarterback. I'm just saying that they're all system quarterbacks in some way. And I think that, like, when you look at Young, what fascinated me about him was not only – you know, he was a great athlete who had to learn how to be a great quarterback. And he's proof that it can be learned. You know, there's a lot of that. Is it nature or nurture? And he's proof that you can go from being kind of raw to being, you know, one of the most accurate throwers in NFL history. And he can articulate it in a way that's really fascinating. And that's what drew me to him. He's just a great quarterback philosopher.
Well, that's a great answer. How do those guys... I don't understand how they can play that position unless they're like 6'5". The linemen are huge. The linemen are wide and tall. How does Caleb, I'm a Bear fan. How does Caleb Williams at 6'1" even see where he's throwing the ball?
Yeah. You know, a lot of quarterbacks, some of them are super tall. Like, I think one of the reasons why, you know, I wrote about it a lot in my book on the New England Patriots, but one of the reasons why fame hit Tom Brady so hard at a young age was because he's so tall.
Yeah.
And, like, people don't quite realize that about him, but, like, you know, he is really, he's listed as 6'4", and I'd say that, like, when you're standing next to him, you think he's like 6'6". And so there was really nowhere for him to hide. A lot of quarterbacks aren't as tall as you think, like even Young and Montana and Caleb Williams and even Brett Favre to an extent, you know, they're 6'1", 6'2", 6 foot. And so, you know, how do they do it? And I think that, like, that's part of what makes quarterbacking, you know, there's different stages, right? Where you can be, you know, first as a rookie, you're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important. There's really not a whole lot you can draw from it other than mental and physical toughness. And then, you know, can you learn and build on what you, the base of knowledge that you have and become proficient? And then it's, can you become great? And then it's, can you become an artist? And I think that when you become a true artist, guys like Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, who aren't the most, you know, physically gifted athletes, can be mesmerizing and quarterbacks and first ballot Hall of Famers because they know how to manipulate motion and activity, you know, using their eyes and using their shoulders. And I think that, like, that's what helps those guys do it. And so I think that, like, you know, Caleb Williams has obviously shown, you know, an incredible ability to make the hardest throws at the most difficult moments. You know, consistency is a little difficult for him, but he's shown that during the highest pressure moments, he has something special. And I think that, like, as he gets more experience, you'll see, you know, maybe some of the Superman throws fade a little bit and the artistry of just raw quarterbacking increase.
That would make Bear fans' cardiovascular systems much healthier if he could do that.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting because, you know, I interviewed Kevin O'Connell, who's the coach of the Vikings
for
the book, and he was a quarterback at college, and, you know, he got drafted in the NFL by the Patriots, and he figured he would sit behind Tom Brady and then go take his skills elsewhere and be a star. And he really never had an NFL career. He just kept getting cut from teams. And so, you know, when he became a coach, coaches often, you know, they teach through autobiographical experiences. And, you know, I asked him, like, what he had learned about himself and about quarterbacking. He said, you know, when I was trying out for teams and I was just hoping to make the roster, I would focus on making these amazing John Elway, Caleb Williams like throws that, you know, have the wow factor to them, when really great quarterbacking is about embracing the mundane and doing it at the highest level possible. And he went and looked at like all of Joe Montana's game winning drives and a lot of Brady's and John Elway's even. And what stood out was not that they make these crazy throws all the time, although they would at moments. It was that they would check down to the running back and they would be, you know, moving the chains. And, you know, it doesn't sound as sexy as some of these, you know, brilliant moments that, you know, we've come to want from quarterbacks. But really, great quarterbacking is about doing the mundane at the highest level possible.
My guest is Seth Wickersham. He is the author of American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, and an ESPN senior writer. We'll have a couple more minutes with Seth. We're talking football, quarterbacks, and I've got some great stuff. I'm going to ask him about Colin Kaepernick when we come back. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Lauren Holly, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. My guest is Seth Wickersham. He does great work at ESPN. He's a senior writer there, and he is the author of books like American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, and It's Better to Be Feared, the New England Patriots Dynasty and the Pursuit of Greatness. Seth, you, writing a book like that, like your previous book, It's Better to Be Feared, mm-hmm. you did great investigative work with Colin Kaepernick. Are you ever worried about retribution from or having being cut off a little bit, or does having ESPN help with that? Are people scared to see you sometimes?
Well, I think that, like, you know, so this is my 25th year doing this. And so I think that, like, you kind of learn, you know, that Bob Woodward, the great investigative reporter, has this line where, you know, you have to learn to live with awkwardness and proceed. And that's so I great. Think that, like, as you get into journalism, you kind of know that these are, like, these aren't very, you know, natural relationships that you have with people, right? I mean, you know, as a journalist, you're constantly butting your nose into things that aren't your business and trying to learn as much about them to the point where you feel like, you know, you have a command of it. And that's, you know, that can be difficult and it can be contentious at times. And so I think that, like, you know, your goal is to always be accurate and fair, and conflict happens. And, you know, I've had at least one NFL owner, you know, take action against ESPN on behalf of, like, some of the work that I've done. But, you know, ESPN stood behind me the entire time. And, you know, honestly, I think that that's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of how things go. It's a very, being an investigative reporter is a very odd job.
It's interesting. Like, I mentioned Colin Kaepernick. To me, mm-hmm. from a casual fan standpoint, I was a pretty good backup intramural quarterback at flag football when I was at DePaul University. Other than that, no, but like
we all have a little Uncle Rico in us, right?
Yes. Oh, we should have played that tag, Con. We've had him on the show. He's great. But you know, when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, the NFL seemed to cave. When it came to Bad Bunny and sticking by their Super Bowl halftime selection this year, they stood by it. Who calls those shots? Is it the owners? Did they take a vote? Is it Roger Goodell? Where do they get their backbone from, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, all of those decisions are different. I would say that, like, you know, when it comes to Super Bowl halftime entertainment, it's pretty much done. It's kind of outsourced by this outfit named Roc Nation, which is kind of Jay-Z's, you know, company and agency. And they pick who the halftime entertainment will be. And so now Roger Goodell could say, you know, we're not doing that. You know, he obviously has the authority to be able to do that, but he doesn't. He defers to them. And then, you know, when it comes to personnel decisions like Colin Kaepernick, I mean, I think that, like, you know, the evidence is pretty strong to suggest that he was blackballed because of who he had become. And, you know, not necessarily because he refused to stand for the national anthem, because there was other players who refused to stand.
Right.
Also, I think that, like, you know, it just became like a momentum that even he couldn't, you know, quite combat. And, you know, he had that I think Goodell wanted him back in the league. And, you know, he kind of, the league helped set up like a tryout, you know, like a scouting session for him. I believe it was outside of Atlanta a couple years ago to try to, like, you know, show teams what he still had left. But at the end of the day, you know, teams, I think when they looked at the entire package of what you're getting with Kaepernick, you know, elected to not, you know, take on that, you know,
baggage.
Force.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and it's too bad because Colin Kaepernick was, he was a terrific quarterback. He was one throw away from being a Super Bowl champion. And, you know, he's someone who joined, you know, a long list of athletes who use their platform, you know, to stand up for causes that were bigger than sports.
Absolutely. What is your next book, Seth? Do you have something picked out? Do you see a potential? Do you see a potential book about the quarterback class? You mentioned Caleb Williams. You got Bo Nix, yeah. Caleb Williams, Drake May. You know, Jaden Daniels.
Well, yeah. Fortunately, I got a little lucky in that when I was reporting the book, I reported on a lot of those 2024 quarterbacks. So I had, you know, the secret analytics study that led Sean Payton to want to draft Bo Nix, and I spent time with Drake May. I wrote a lot about Caleb Williams and, you know, his concerns about going to a place like the Bears, which, you know, had a horrible history of drafting and developing and coaching quarterbacks. And so I kind of lucked out with those guys. I mean, you know, in terms of books for me, what's next is there's going to be a collection of my ESPN work, kind of like a journalist version of their greatest hits, that comes out in September.
Oh, that's cool.
And then, you know, the next book of pure, you know, original work, I'm not quite sure yet. You know, I think that, like, to write a book, it's an interesting and torturous process, but you really, as an author, you have to believe that, you know, a book has to be out there and that you're the only one who can do it. Like, you have to believe that to be able to do a book, because they're so hard that, like, you know, you really have to have that kind of emotional tailwind behind you. And so, you know, I don't take that lightly. And when I do books, I feel like it's something that, like, I just simply have to do.
We are coming right back for Act Two. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.